Thank you, Melanie and Steve, for blessing us this morning and all that has happened and all God's greatness that He gives to us in the lives of people. And we just thank God. Turn with me this morning, if you will please, to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, way back in the Old Testament, in the Book of Wisdoms. Ecclesiastes, we'll be looking at chapter 3 this morning. I want to share with you a little thoughts about the seasons of life. Seasons of life are stages that we go through as we mature and grow. There's many seasons that we have. One thing that is for certain, we can't change them. We can't pick and choose. There is always going to be something that God has set in motion. There is a springtime, and there is a summertime, and there is fall, and there is winter. It is a cycle that is unchangeable. Now, it may vary in intensity, but you know what? You can't just order what you want. You can't say, Lord, I'd like to have 4 harvest times and only 1 winter. We just can't do that because there is a cycle that goes in life, just like we can't get in our 80s and say, Lord, I want to be 16 again. Now, it's just not going to happen. Amen? Those of you getting close to 80, amen? Come on now. Oh my, yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Solomon, the wisest one the Bible recognizes, man in the world, he says, to everything there is a season. In a time for every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Over the many years, there have been many metaphors that have tried to explain or describe these seasons of life. Popular movie years ago, Forrest Gump said that life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Amen? Or some of you cheat. I've been over your house before and I've seen the holes that you punch in the bottom of chocolates and then you put them back. Don't do that. Unless it's just your box of chocolate. Life is a grindstone. Whether it grinds us down or polishes us depends upon our attitude. Life is like riding a bicycle. You don't fall off unless you stop pedaling. Life is like an onion. You peel off one layer at a time, and sometimes you weep. So the first point that I'd like us to examine this morning is that there is a season of life. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:1 again, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. Each moment in time, each phase of life that we live, we must treat it in a manner. We must live our life in that season as appropriately as we find ourselves. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he goes on to say, he, talking about God, has made everything beautiful in its time. In other words, when you're young, there is a beauty of being young. When you're a teenager, there's a beauty of being a teenager. Whether you're a young adult, or you're an adult, or you're in the latter season of your life, that God has created a beautiful world. He's created a beautiful time in your life so that way you may enjoy. Now, so many people create problems for themselves trying to avert a certain season in their life. The goal is to enjoy the joy that we can find in each one of those times. In other words, you got to live your season in your life and not try to change it. Now, let me just add this, that there's a lot of people that try to change their seasons. They're not happy with maybe the season that they're in. And, you know, they may be in the winter time of their season of life, and they try to act like they're in the spring. Amen? You know, that's when you try to act like something that you're not. They say that the beauty industry grosses about $3 billion a year in America alone on folks trying to look out of season. You know, that's right. You may be winter and you're trying to goop it up and hide it up and stretch it up to try to look like you're spring. But God's Word said there is a beauty that God has created in the season. Now, my grandmother lived to be old, really old. But I'm going to tell you something, she was beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
Quit trying to hide it. There is a beauty in the season that you're in. Enjoy the season there. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many, and all that cometh is vanity. In other words, I believe Solomon is saying, enjoy. Yes, there's going to be tough times. There's going to be hard times, but enjoy that season. Remember the light. It's always there. Secondly, youth, springtime, in the season of preparation. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thy eyes, but know thou, for all these things God will bring into judgment. Youth is a fleeting time. Amen? I don't know that I want to repeat my youth. Some days when I wake up, I wish I had the energy and strength that I had when I was a young man. But I'll be honest with you, I don't want to go back there. I'm glad that I'm on this side of the learning curve. I'm glad that I've learned the lessons in life that I had to learn back then the hard way. I wish that I would listen to my parents. I wish I would have heeded the words that they gave me, and it would have kept me from getting in trouble. I wish that I would have heeded many of my teachers that would have said, study. Then when I went to take a test and had not studied, I didn't do so well. And I lived in an era, teenagers, that when I didn't do well in school, I didn't do well at home. There were consequences for bad grades. He goes on to say that youth is a time of innocence. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39 says, moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey in your young children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. And they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. It's a time when we need to guard our young people. You know, when you're a teenager, and I'm speaking to some this morning, it's like you feel like that you know already how to fly. But the danger is that you just don't have your flight feathers yet. You know, a mama eagle knows the right time to push their baby eaglets out of the nest, but only after they know that they can fly. Well, sometimes our young people think they can fly, and what do? They crash. All right? Youth is a time when we need to guard our children. We need to hold them and wrap our arms around them until the time in which they can handle life's situation. And teenagers, I know you're all so very disappointed to realize that, you know, once you get into high school, that maybe life just isn't ideal, or especially when you graduate. You discover when you're in school that school's hard. And that when you're growing up, you know, like when you're in that in-between age of 13, 14, and 15, when like your feet are size 12 and your head is still like this big, and your body's doing weird things and it's growing, and you just think that, you know, wow, what's going on to me? And young people have such a hard time going through that age, and it's hard. And we need to have compassion on them. We need to love them, because teenage years are hard. I know some of you, it's been a while. And of course, then the greatest words out of young people that I hear is, it's not fair. Of course, the mature adult response is, you're right, get used to it. That's our great wisdom that we give to them. Ecclesiastes has a little better. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Life is a chance, and life is what you make it. And you, each and every one, we have the ability through God to shape and form our habits. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And of course, parents, this is where Solomon inserts verse 6. He says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Even in youth, we remember, young people, that God holds us accountable for the life that we live. And youth has a tendency to focus solely on the here and now. But you know what? Us mature saints, it is our time to love them and help them realize. Even in youth, Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, these things command and teach. Let no man despise our youth. So Paul's saying, listen, there are good things in being young. There's a lot of great things that you can be accomplished. And I'm glad that we have a youth group that bears the burden of reaching out and ministering to other youth, because now's the time that it happens. 80% of people are generally saved in their teenage years. The chances of salvation begins less and less and less the older we go. As a matter of fact, once we get to retirement age, around 65 or 70, only 1% of converts happen during that age group. So church, if ever we need to focus our energies and our attentions, it's on our young people. It's our children. It's then when we need to really see the Word of God into their hearts and help them grow and mature. And then the third point is manhood and womanhood. Summertime, the season of production. You know, the apron strings are cut. And it's time that when we graduate from high school and college, that we forge a new life of our choosing. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. There's a time when we leave the security of our family. We leave the provision of our mother and our father, and we venture out into life all by ourselves. Some, during this summertime, the season of production, will take upon themselves a husband or wife. And the Bible so clearly gives us teaching. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of our body. Now, I know that a lot of people hate that. I know a lot of women cringe when that's written. That doesn't mean that your husband is your a boss. He's your husband. He's your helpmate. But there has to be authority, and there's a line. Now remember, where much is given, much is required. And listen, guys, don't take this passage of Scripture lightly, because it requires a lot of you. It requires that you provide, and you care for, and you love, and you honor your wife. God holds you accountable. So don't just get puffed up and say, yeah, honey, preacher said, you're supposed to honor me, baby. Get my shoes, bring me the newspaper, and Well, that's not what it says. I threw that in for you. Huh? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, so to say. Husbands, here it is, guys, listen. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. And here's the little point, guys, we've got to remember. What did Jesus do to prove his love for the church? He died. Huh? Do you love your wife enough to die? You ought to, if you love her enough. And for some, marriage brings about starting a family. Psalms 127, verse 3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Now, some of us have some arrows in our quiver. Others have more. Some of us have human beings in our quiver, and some folks have their furry friends. I know people that love their dogs and their cats like they do their own children. Amen, Brenda? Young adulthood is a time of strength. It's a time of energy. Very few aches and pains. I remember when I was young, I loved to run. I loved to do stuff. I loved hard work. Man, I loved to stay busy all the time. Today, if I was my same art that I was in my 20s, I'd be laying around somewhere because I'd be moaning and groaning. I look at Gabrielle and the schedule that she keeps up, and I remark to Lee, when does she rest? But that's you. That's young. That's when we ought to be energetic. And it's also a time that we ought to invest in our future. Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 5 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of diligence maketh him rich. He that gathereth in summer is wise, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame." Oh, there's a lot to be said about young. It's a time to be energetic. It's a time to plan for the future. But there's a real warning here that we have in the Bible, that if we neglect our relationship with God, you see, because also in that young adulthood, there is a time which we even look around in many churches today between 25 and 40 years old. There's a big gap there. Because it is a time when the world has a tendency to draw our young men and our young women away. Yes, they're working hard. They're working on their careers. They're working on their families. They're working on their hobbies and things like that. But the danger is that in that work, they neglect their relationship with God. And I just want to encourage everyone that has young people of that age, it's a time that we need to love them even more and reach out. The next thing is the out of time, the time of maturity, the time of provision. Because strength begins to fade, but is replaced with skill and wisdom. Proverbs 20 and 29 says, "The glory of a young man is his strength, and the beauty of old men is his gray hair." Brother Steve, all you gray-headed guys out there. It's glory, it's a beauty, ladies, too. We might be able to work harder, but when we get older, we learn to work smarter. Amen? Things that may have taken you, you know, 4 or 5 hours to do, you just work smarter. You know, the time when you used to say, "Oh, I can carry about 5 or 6 bags of cement on my shoulder," you know, when you get older, you learn to get a wheelbarrow. Autumn time, time of provision. It's a time that we mature and we grow in our knowledge. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 12 says, "For this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and purpose and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." In that autumn time, It is a time of maturing, a time when we ought to be growing in our wisdom and our spiritual understanding of the Lord. And it is also a time to pass it on. You see, it's a time, as we've got a little experience, a little age behind us, it's a time that we ought to be sharing what we know in the Lord. And then next is our winter time. It's our elderly time. It's the season of preservation. Strength might be gone, but it doesn't mean that life has stopped for you. True strength, it is not in our body and what it can do, but it's in our spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, "For which cause we faint not." Those of us that have passed 55 and still are alive, it's a time not to faint. It's a time not to give up. It's not a time to settle back and say, "I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done that." Now's a time to rest. Well, it's okay to rest. It's also a time not to give up. It's a time to push on, to be an example, to let others to look at us. It may also be in the winter time of our life a time of loss. Friends have died, family, even our beloved spouse. For many times, or many of us, work has come to an end. But for those who have invested wisely in a time, or their time in the Lord, it is a time of honor. Proverbs 16:31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory." That's gray hair. "If it be found in the way of righteousness, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." If we wait until old age, then it'll be too late. It's time to take our old age. And I encourage you, in a church that we have abundance of people that are mature, some of us are in our winter time of life. But you know what? It's not over. God's not done with us. God still has purpose in us. There is wisdom and understanding that comes to us that we have when we're older than that which we had when we were young. And the longer we live, the more life and understanding of that life we have. And I encourage you, brother and sister, to pass it on. Let me close with just simple word advice. Two stories. Excuse me. One is a story about a lady. The other is a poem. The story goes, when we were growing up years ago in our sleepy southern town, most of the adults seemed rather staid and sober. And there was, however, one memorable exception. Her name was Miss Lucy. She was a widow lady who lived with her friend and proper sister, Clara. But Miss Lucy was full of charm and sparkle and enthusiasm. See, ladies, when you get older, you can be full of sparkle and enthusiasm. Miss Lucy was full of all this. One day, Miss Lucy, who was in her 80s, asserted to everybody around her outside of the porch that she could still stand on her head. People looked at her with their nose dropped and their eyes dropped. When we looked at her with doubtlessness. And so to prove her point, she clammed her skirt between her knees and thus did so, as looking at us all upside down, beaming. "Oh, sister," Clara said. Miss Lucy righted herself. She said, "What's wrong, sister?" She said, "Well, what kind of nonsense is that? Why don't you act your age? You are over 80 years old. You have no business standing on your head." She said, "Well, how can I act any other than my age?" But she said, "The trick is to love your age. Love it when you're young and strong and foolish. Love it when you're old and wise. Love it in the middle when the challenges come, and you will solve some of them. But maybe most of all, love yourself. If you love your age, then you'll never go around wishing you were some other age. Think about that, dear sister Clara," she said. "Why don't you try standing on your head?" You see, life changes and our abilities change. But as we go through these seasons of life, I want to encourage you to enjoy each and every one of them. To enjoy, be your age. Teenagers, enjoy being a teenager. Because one of these days, enjoy doing all the things that you love to do. Climb a tree, climb a mountain. You know, whatever the case may be, because one day you'll be old like Pastor Art. And you'll know better than to climb a tree, because you might fall out of it. Here's a poem called, I'm Growing Old. They say I'm growing old. I've heard them say at times untold, in language plain and bold. But I'm not growing old. This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well. But I'm not growing old. What if my hair is turned gray? Gray hair is honorable, they say. What if my eyesight grows dim? I can still see to follow him who sacrificed this life for me there on the cross of Calvary. Why should I care if it's time's old plow has dug some furrow in my brow? Another house not made with hand awaits me in the glory land. My hearing may not be as keen as in the past it may have been. Still, I can hear my Savior say, come faltering child, this is the way. The outward man, do what I can to lengthen out this life's short span, shall perish and return to dust, as everything in nature must. But the inward man, the scriptures say, ah, the inward man is growing stronger every day. Then how can I be growing old? I'm safe within the Savior's fold. Ere long my soul shall fly away and leave this tenement of clay. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I'll meet you on the streets of gold and prove that I'm not growing old. Amen. I'm not growing old. I'm just living out the seasons of my life. And I encourage you, as God leads you, and as God blesses you, enjoy the gray hair. Amen? I didn't hear a lot of amens, but anyway, that's all right. Life is good. God is good. And no matter what season you are, whether you may be a teenager or you might be seasoned, enjoy what God has blessed you with. Each and every one. It's a day that we can be thankful. Stay your week. Be with me this morning as we prepare to sing our hymn of invitation, and I promise not to forget that hymn of invitation.